So there's a first time for everything, as they say. We discovered today that we didn't know that there's a battery in our safe and that we need to change the battery if you want to be able to get in and out of our safe. So we learned that today. But I'll say another first thing today, I'll admit this, okay? This is a bad confession for a priest, but I'm pretty sure that this is the first time that I've actually been in a church on New Year's Day. Anybody else can confess to that? Oh, you're making me feel bad. Come on. No, it's not often that we have the occasion to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name, which actually falls on January 1st. And without, you know, obviously having the responsibility of being in church on New Year's Day, it hasn't been something, I have to admit, that's been that much of a habit for me. And I'm quite impressed to see a decent-sized crowd here today, despite the fearsome weather and the holiday. Now, of course, needing to be here today means that I couldn't do the traditional what folks do on New Year's Eve, which is, you know, stay up late and party. But I don't do a whole lot of that anyway. I'm usually in bed by about 9 o'clock. As you know, I have a 3-year-old, and so it's not very easy to party nowadays. New Year's Eve for me is watch the ball drop in New York in real time, and then I'm done. So, but that doesn't mean, even though I'm not able to do the stuff that people normally do on New Year's Eve, there is a particular tradition that most of us associate with New Year's or around this time of year that I made sure to participate in with my family. And that's the tradition of just looking back at the previous year, kind of doing a little bit of reflection and talking about what this last year meant to us, and then looking forward to the new year, setting goals, setting priorities, setting intentions. I try to stay away from New Year's resolutions because those end up, you know, being a little bit cheesy, and they're good for a couple of weeks and then you don't stick with them. But I like to say intentions, goals, that kind of thing. This is the time of year where a lot of us put into our minds who we want to be in the year to come. We look at who we were the year before, we look how we want to better ourselves, who we want to be. How do we want to define ourselves in the new year? This is the time of year where you hear people saying, you know, new year, new me, right? So I suppose it's appropriate that we would get to celebrate this feast of the Holy Name that we don't get a chance to celebrate all that often, on New Year's Day. Because this idea of a name, particularly in the cultures of the Bible, whether in the Hebrew scriptures or in Jesus' time, was a pretty big deal. Name was more than just something given to you by your parents kind of arbitrarily. A name spoke to the essence of someone's character. Your name really defined who you were, for better or for worse, and more so, who you might aspire to be as you grew, or at least who your parents aspired you to be, your family. Now today, of course, is a feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. And this is, as I mentioned last week, the season where we try to make some sense out of the incarnation, this idea of God being with us in human form. So in a sense, we're taking this time of Christmas and even beyond into Epiphany to get to know Jesus. This is the get to know Jesus time of year. So it would be appropriate, of course, that we would want to talk about Jesus' name. Names in the Bible are often the first thing that people hear when they're hearing an announcement from an angel. Think about the story of Elizabeth with John the Baptist or Mary with Jesus. Those were the first things that the angels told them. His name will be John. His name will be Jesus. We see that throughout the Old Testament. I think understanding that importance of names also helps us to understand, in our modern context, the importance of names, for example, in the trans community, where a name is very a name is an important statement of who someone is. That's why things like pronouns become so important to folks in the trans community. Our name is who we want to be. In fact, our Jewish friends, they often refer to God simply as Hashem, which means literally the name. It's a substitute for that covenant name of God, which is not said, but God is simply the name. And we see that in our reading from Numbers today, where God says, I will put my name on them. The name symbolizes the reputation, the essence of the character of the person named. And so as we think about Jesus' name, what's the significance? What's the significance of the name of Jesus? And I think we need to think beyond just the literal name of Jesus. Yes, of course, his name is the Hebrew Yeshua, which literally means he saves. So that's a pretty appropriate name for Jesus, of course. It was setting the path that he would take. But I've also been wondering lately, as I've been thinking about ways to keep our message of God's love relevant to a world that no longer knows a whole lot about the church, who no longer knows a whole lot about Jesus. Sometimes that name, that very name, Jesus, can be a stumbling block for people, right? Think about it. There's been a lot of things that have been done in Jesus' name that are not really things that we want to represent, things that we want to be proud of. I think our key to understanding what the name of Jesus really is all about comes from our reading today from the letter to the Philippians from St. Paul. He gives us an explanation in a beautiful piece of poetry that was likely a hymn that was sung by the early church, what the name of Jesus really stands for. Now, they say that a person's name, hearing your name, is the most beautiful sound in the world, because it's a sound to us that gives us a sense of our self-understanding, of our identity. When we hear our name, we're being identified, we're being seen, we're being acknowledged. A name is also a key to a relationship. Try having a relationship with your spouse or someone that you care about without knowing their name. If I went and just started calling my wife, hey you, I don't think it would work out very well. We need to know somebody's name, who they are, in essence who they are, in order to be in relationship with them. And so Paul gives us a key to who Jesus is so that we can have that relationship also. You see, by allowing God, the universal essence that is at the core of all of reality, the scripture tells us that God is unknowable as God's self, but God, in becoming incarnate in Jesus, chooses to be known in a particular way, to be known as a particular person. That idea of incarnation fills all of our practices in the church. We look for God in the particular, in a particular person, in this particular bread, in this particular wine. And so through the incarnation, through choosing a name, God chooses to become knowable for us to be able to have that relationship with the God who cannot be known. And here's the thing that Paul shows us. The name that Jesus chooses is not just any name. It's not just an arbitrary name. It's the name of the one who was crucified, the one who gave himself, the one who is powerless, not the name of the powerful. God could have chosen any name in heaven and on earth. The name he chose, the name that God chose to say, this is who I am, this is who I represent, this is how I choose to be known, is the name of Jesus, the crucified one. Now in Luke's gospel, It tells us that Jesus' name was given to him before he was conceived. In that sense, a name represents will become. It's a prophetic statement of someone's mission in life. And so as we are entering into this season of reflection on who we want to be, who we want to become, perhaps the question we need to be asking ourselves is, what is the name that we were called before we were born? Who are we called to become? What's the path and the journey that we are called on? And it's not just people that have names, but churches have names as well. Someone was asking me this week about how does the naming process of a church work? Do we just pick a saint, or how does that work? And I know that it's a different process for every church, but a lot of times it comes down to simply what is the nearest feast day to when the church starts. But other times, the name symbolizes who the church wants to be, who the church wants to become. And so I think about us here at Holy Cross. What does that name say about who we want to become? Do we choose to align ourselves with that crucified one in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we do our ministry? Are we choosing to take that path of descent, that downward path of giving up our power, giving up our certainty, and trusting in God? Who are we to become? So as we celebrate today, this New Year's Day, this new year of 2023 ahead of us, as those who call ourselves followers of that Jesus, that one named with that powerful name, how do we set our intentions today and for this year going forward to live into that calling with the particular elements of our lives? And what intentions can we set in order to make that name of Jesus known to others? It's not about making resolutions that we're not going to keep. It's about asking ourselves, who in this year of 2023, do we want to be? So let us continue to ask that question, to pray and to discern as a community who Holy Cross chooses to be for this year and beyond. I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.